You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
Happening right now, multimedia artist Tipare is multi across the board, raised in multiple places around multifarious ethnicities and tongues. They have grown up around the arts and artists and finds that their medium of expression cannot be singular. Here on the program today, Tu Kororo, about her recently, almost recently released, coming out this Friday, Waiata Star Scars, a track that speaks to intergenerational toku iho, a foundational concept in Te Ao Māori that encompasses traditions, values, knowledge, and legacy. How are you this morena?
Oh, morena Lily, morena Otipoti. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Now, we were just chatting off air about your lipstick colour is the first thing I noticed.
Deep and meaningful.
Yes, very deep and meaningful. Now, this Waiata, I'm just going to jump right into it. It began as two poems following a conversation you had with someone who had spent time in prison. What about that conversation bloomed into those words and mediated on those kinds of themes of spiritual forgiveness and reincarnation?
Yeah, it's been an interesting journey, this song, this Waiata. I, you know, work across the board in a lot of different places. Mm. One of the places I work at, Te Pā, we work with prisoners, ex-prisoners, their whānau. And this is someone who is a friend of mine. And I guess a lot of them have come out and they have converted to Christianity.
Mm.
And I wasn't necessarily raised in that space. I have absolutely no problem with it. I was raised in America, which a lot of friends who are Black Baptist, and you've got gospel music, all those foundational roots, you know, cultures. But I guess it tipped me into our own thoughts about tuku iho.
Mm-hmm.
Because he talked about reincarnation. He was just talking about it. It was a lot for me to take on at the time.
Yeah.
I wasn't quite sure what I was listening to. But I respect him and he's a friend of mine. And I don't know if I necessarily was having an active thought process about it. It kind of, later on I went home. But I know it impacted me, that moment. And I just went on about my day. And with poetry, especially for me as an artist, it's not... they just come out. Like, I don't even know where they come from, if I'm being completely honest.
Mm.
Sometimes I'm just in the car driving and something will just wash over me and I'll have to pull over and write it down. And this was pretty much like that with these, the first poem, which was the first part of the song about the hurihanga, we call it in Māoridom, the turning, the, I guess it's reincarnation, I don't know what the term would be other than hurihanga.
Yeah.
Came first, and then the second portion about being led to the well came after. Yeah, I didn't know what I had written. It's kind of something, and this happens a lot because I work in different disciplines. I do the work, and it's not till months later I look at it, if it's a painting or if it's poetry or something, and I will start to understand myself.
Mm.
Oh my God, that's what's happened here. It's
yeah.
like it pieces together for me. So
I think that's such a, like so many artists can relate to that. You know, you make something and it's only
yeah.
later that you kind of understand where that came from and why you made it, you know, because it's such a, some things like that, like you were talking to this poem, it just comes out of you in a wave. And it's only later that you can kind of step back and understand why.
Yeah, because life is a complex existence, you know, and I think sometimes you can, I would call it artistry as well, but you can go in with an intentional version of something you want to make.
Mm.
But as the years have gone by, as the development of myself as an artist, I don't do that anymore, which is frustrating because, you know, I don't have control of it. But I also realize now my purpose more, which is to actually be receptive to what it is I'm supposed to be making,
mm.
as opposed to trying to pre-design it And I think part of that does come from making documentaries where, you know, you go in and you think, oh, this is what I think the end of this is going to turn out like.
Yeah, totally.
But on the journey, you go, oh my God, you talk to somebody and they completely pivot, you know?
Yeah.
And you have to be open to that in order to be true and authentic. You have to be open to being open.
Yeah, yeah. It's number one part of being an artist, I think. So on that, was it a natural progression to turn these poems into a Waiata?
Well, I've been working with this amazing producer, Andrew Meyer, who I just adore, who's been so super patient with me because he does work with established artists on labels who have time frames, and he understood from the beginning that I'm actually working on an EP together, that's not how I was going to go with this one, it was coming from a Māori perspective, which is not constrained by that. And I just was listening again to whatever's out there. I just one day started singing these poems together. I didn't even realize they were meant to go together. I just, in one shot, the melody came out. I think I might have been in the kitchen somewhere. And I went, oh my God, I ran to the phone and just sang the melody of the combined poems. And I contacted him. I was like, Andrew, we got to do this song. And I can hear pick guitar. And I kind of explained to him the sonic encompassing that I was hoping, knowing that he already would be able to do this and bring this, the other portion of this to life. And so we got in the studio together one night, rung me up, and I turned up. We had our chat as we do, and then he just started playing. I just started singing. We kind of really developed really quickly. He just really felt it, you know. He's another one. He listens.
Yeah.
Yeah, he feels you, so it was great.
And the vocals, they're very raw and very vulnerable. Recording something like that, you said that you kind of recorded it on a night where you felt a bit broken and tired, which is such a pure human state to be in. What does it sound like listening back to that? I mean, I can imagine it's kind of, you can't recreate that.
Lily, thank you. Oh my God, that's exact. Like, I literally, this song, you can hit the same notes, right? See, I'll get emotional and start crying now. But you can't capture a moment, recreate it. This song, and this is, I think, what is so special about the song is it's created itself, and I was being used in moments. And that moment was, I was so exhausted. You know, I'm like anyone else. You have whānau problems. You're upset. You want to, I think the truest portion of me is just in that moment, I wanted to love the people I love. And even though I myself was tired, which is not the ideal time to do vocals, right? Something in me was like, oh, I just need to work on the song. I need to try something and be real. And so that's where that came from. And it was a blur, like, because I think I was so exhausted. I just sung it, and I was at home and I played around with a couple takes and they bounced back to me at the same time. I was like, this is actually what this song is. It's being a wreck and still loving.
Yeah.
Still letting that in. Because like you said, that human emotion and the era we live in and the social media, there's just this real, I guess, promotion of competitiveness around,
totally.
Oh, I'm in pain, you're in pain, who's going to be in more pain, and we're going to fight. And I don't want to do that. Like, I'm able to love people even if I'm in pain. And I think that is something we all hold inside us. We just maybe don't do it as often as we should these days, maybe.
Yeah. And going back to the themes of the track, it's, you know, like you say, it's about loving yourself and loving someone in their entirety, even when that's broken. And you talk about this lovely metaphor about how stars are kind of, they're built in space from a series of probably traumatic kind of events, a series of traumatic events. But we down here, we don't see that. We just see them shining, and we appreciate their beauty. Does that kind of go back to what you were saying of that, you know, like you're in that vulnerable state?
Yes. Yeah, I think, again, there's a lot of stuff inside of it that I think just lives in me as someone who's a part of Te Ao Māori and whakapapa. We call it noho tapu. There's a lot of information that has been passed to me that I, don't necessarily talk about that lives in me. So that's within there as well. But there's also the portion of me is like, I think I'm like everyone else. We're all tired and sick of trying to reach perfection all the time these days. Got this now, we've got to say everything perfectly. Like, I mess up, I can't even speak English properly, right? Sometimes, I think for me, yeah, why I'm also releasing the radio edit and the demo version. The demo version has no auto-tune, no effects, no reverb. It's pure my voice and me trying to edit at home, attract, like it's a mess, but that's me. That's actually who I am. And I thought that's okay too. Like sometimes, like we feel like we need to love ourselves or just, and sometimes I don't love myself, but like that's okay too.
Yeah, exactly. You can't
We're
always love
just too
yourself.
hard on ourselves. Yeah, like that's the human experience, is that's what makes us human, and all our own mess ups that we're trying to fix up is our journey, and also understanding that's what other people go through as well too.
Yeah, and I think what you touched on with AI there, I think it's more important than ever that artists kind of show the cracks, they show the vulnerabilities, they show the things that aren't quite perfect, because what is now non-perfection is human. That is, we can't be a robot, we can't be artificial, we can only be very authentic. And I think there's something so powerful now with a kind of wave of artists who are like, no, I'm gonna leave the mistakes in. I'm gonna own that because that's who we are.
Yeah, that is the rawness and reality of who we are. And I feel very safe to do that inside my Te Ao Māori, in my community, in the kanohi, ki te kanohi aspect, in the reality of it. And I thought I need, in the wider world, we need to do that as well. And you're right. I've been holding on to the song was a year and a half ago, because it's part of a larger project. And when everything came in at the beginning of the year, it's just as an artist, you go, oh, what's the point? AI's taking over, they're telling us the top 10 songs. We're like, why do we throw our whole bodies on the line, our emotions, our soul? And then I just went, at some point, I just think it's important we all be drops of water that are real inside this flooding of things that are not human. So yeah, you're right. I think there's a lot of us doing that now.
And kind of wrapping up our time together, but one more question about what's the significance of releasing this now during Matariki?
Well, in Te Ao Māori, we whakapapa to Ngā Whetū. We are a part of that process, and that's what Matariki is. And I always am working during Matariki or releasing something, and I think that's just, whether it's to the public or not, that's part of the process. And I just had an inkling that this was something that needed to go out this Matariki, the dual versions, the more polished, starry radio edit, and then the more raw, catastrophic edit, which is us as stars. We're part of that. We're stardust.
Oh, beautiful. Namahi for the chat. Been so lovely.
Oh, that was great. Thank you,
Oh,
Lily.
good. And then the track, the Waiata, it releases this July 10th. Do we have your permission?
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcasts.